This is how much we know about movies. We just, this, if you want a raw review of movies, you're getting it right here, because we don't know shit.
Dad!
Oh, fuck, I don't know, man. Is that like nostalgia purposes for kids these age?
Well, I don't give a shit. I don't care.
Forget that, Pop.
Fine, I'll Google it. Through the magic
of podcasting.
I mean,
you don't have to Google it. I'm just saying, you just take it out.
No, no.
Not bring it out, or just be better prepared.
Now I'm gonna shut your fucking mouth.
I am your father.
Man, sometimes I wish, like, things would stay at a simpler time mentality.
Welcome to the Two Dads Review Podcast. So, you know, I've been listening to the first show all day as well. That's some gold right there. Let me tell you what. You are an amazing man, sir. I would like to tell you that now. And anyone who is still listening right now after your opening shit last episode, welcome back, both of you. you're in for a ride. Yeah. Yeah, get yourself warmed up for this episode. Right. Get warmed up for this podcast.
It's like fucking hot, man. Like, I'm about to like go turn the overhead light off and shit, dude.
How are you hot? It is like 50 degrees outside right now.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, from the moment I did that fucking sleepover with the kiddo and we camped out in the living room and I got all of 45 minutes of sleep, my body has slowly been like recouping from that situation. And like, I'm at like the final point now where like I have detoxed and whatever to like feel right again, and I think it's like a fever, just let it sweat it out, you know. I'm like, all right, dude, just fucking,
yeah, you're not warm with. Your body's healing itself, therefore everything's,
yeah,
real hot,
yeah,
right,
it's
now
just working over fucking time right now as it's trying to help me recover.
Yeah, I promised my son we'd go camping for his birthday, which is in the dead of summer, and I'm starting to regret that already. And we're not even out there yet, but I'm like, it was a very mild winter, which means all the bugs that are supposed to die off and then have to like refigure out life again the next spring and summer, they didn't really die off. They just kind of chilled for a while. It was a little bit cold, but they're okay. So it's them and then their brethren who also show up. So I'm not sure I can bring enough tick and, you know, repellent with me out there. So
that's true. You could always just do it in the backyard.
No, because I think I'm actually gonna let him shoot his first rifle, like a little 22 I have. Show the boy some. He'll be 7. That's a good age to be like, okay, here's firearm safety, and it's not just pew pew at everybody. This can kill someone. You know, let's set up a target and let you feel that rush, and then take it away from you. Oh man, yeah, it'll be fun. We'll figure it out. Have some good cooking. Drink coffee like all day and pray that bear that showed up at this place we're going doesn't show up this time when I'm out there. Because we're going to my buddy's property and he slept in a hammock out there last time and said, let's just put it this way. He was up at 2 a.m. hollering at whoever was in the woods to show themselves. And he realized it probably wasn't a person. It was probably a bear.
Probably. It's their woods.
And I'm like, you know, you're not convincing me to come camping with you out there ever. It's just not, it's not sounding like something I want to do.
I mean, that's just kind of one of those things of you go camping anywhere, like there's wildlife.
Right. I'm not a huge fan of wildlife. I was a Boy Scout in my days. I've done backpacking hundreds of miles in a few weeks, in 10 days. I've done that stuff, but I was young and stupid. I'm like... You know, that's before you realize there was, like, if you got bit by one kind of tick.
Just teach them the rich man's camping then.
Later on down the road, when you eat red meat, you may have an anaphylactic shock and die. Like, you may die.
You could.
Yeah, that's like, wow, this world's scary. And not to mention the pandemic right now. I mean, the only thing good about camping is there's no one around, which is a good thing right now. So, there you go.
Yeah, even if it's open. You know, like, I know you're going to, like, your buddy's place, but it's like... Who knows where we'll be by then?
Yeah, true. We could all be camping. We could all be camping by then. Extended camping trip, folks. Right? I'm just waiting for I. You know, the timing for like Kim and I had not done anything. My wife and I, because nobody listening knows my wife's name. My wife and I has, you know us. We don't go anywhere. We don't like do things vacation-wise. It's always going to Kentucky to see the family, except nobody lives there anymore. Or, you know, that was pretty much that. That was pretty much what all of our stuff with the kids went. So, like, the one time we go on a cruise, boy, we snuck it in there, right? Like, the amount of luck it took for that cruise to go off without a hitch in February of this year. And then what happens when we take our one vacation ever of our married life with kids? A fucking pandemic. It's like, I was like, I'm so sorry, world. This is what the street luck does for you. I can't help it. I'm so sorry. I've botched it for everybody. The fact that there wasn't a case on the ship, or that we didn't find out later that there was a case on the ship, that's just amazing. Then everything goes to shit. And here we are.
Right.
Right. So, what did you think of the second episode of Pretty Dreadful? Huh?
It's pretty good.
You know, it told us a lot of stuff. It set a lot of things in motion. Like, the first episode was your intro to everybody and kind of giving you the, okay, this is what's going to happen this season. And this one, like, a lot of info and a lot of setting things in motion and getting people, you know, further along on their goals, and we're not wasting time with anything crazy, and we're introducing new interesting characters and then killing them in like 5 more minutes. And I was like, oh shit, like, damn it. You know, his little crew of like, I guess his crew of Jews, I mean, they were all Jews, they were saying they were Jews and they were following the Nazi around you know, Los Angeles.
Yeah, but I mean,
well, of the people in that car, I mean, I even think I recognized the lady that was in the car too. But you knew every single one of those actors. You're like, you're somebody. I feel like you're
everybody
somebody
you see on screen that talks to them, that's not like the nurse, basically, you know, saying your mom can't kneel here. Those kind of people, or like the doctor.
Like, yeah, shut like, up, Karen.
You're gonna know who they are,
right?
Like, you're gonna go, I've seen them in something.
Right, exactly. Even Molly. You know. Molly's from Halt and Catch Fire, if you ever watch that show. Because I was watching the whole episode both times, and I'm like, I know who you are. I know who you are. I can't place who you are, and I'm not going to look at it right now because I'm watching it on my phone, but I know who you are. And then I was like, oh, yeah, she's in Halt and Catch Fire, and she's amazing in that show, and that show's amazing. And that show got to run its course, by the way. Since last episode, you were in such a tizzy. If you're looking for a show that got to run its course, watch Halt. Oh, you didn't walk out? You didn't like it already? Oh, all right. Yeah. Never mind. I loved Halt and Catch Fire. I thought it was great.
Nah, it was boring.
Well, potato, potato. Oh, man. But yeah, she was cool. I'm interested. Like, I'm like, okay, so this like churchy cult thing is going to play a big, you know, because we're, I mean, even Detective Meichner said this, it wasn't Mexicans. Like, it's all too easy. It's all too laid out. So who could benefit from these folks dying? Cause it definitely wasn't Mexicans that killed them.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, laid out.
I don't know. I mean,
well, I'll start you at the beginning then. Cause there's a lot of cool scenes that happened this episode. And a lot of people that just, let me tell you what, man. Officer Riley is going to get his by the end of this season. He's the big fat dude who has done nothing but his, like, okay, we need you. Okay, here's your role. You're going to be a dick every time you're in front of the camera. When I say action, you, sir, are in dick mode. Because you have him. Right? He meets Vega and Meichner outside of the hospital while, like, Vega is trying to walk him in because he got shot in the shoulder. And he's, you know, you got to give, you know, Lewis credit, man. He's trying to, like, he's like, dude, just go around back. Like, all these motherfuckers are going to see is a brown face today. And he's like, yeah. If I go around back, I'll go around back for my entire career. And he's like, okay. And of course, so it just, and then even after he spits on him, it's Lewis that turns around to, like, go after him, like, with a hole in his arm. And the dude's like, just let it go, man. That dude's got the biggest, like, he's got the coolest of cool, man. Actually, I thought he was the coolest person I was going to see this episode until that dude with that switchblade showed up.
Yeah, well, I mean, he does, I don't know, it's cool because he's like the guy that just seems to get it that race doesn't matter. And obviously you kind of know why, because he's Jewish. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he's like, nah, fuck that, man. Like, I know what this shit is. I know what persecution feels like, you right. know? And I kind of wondered at first, okay, I mean, really, really, let's be honest here. Like, how many white people were just cool with other people, like, in big environments like that? And I don't even mean into, like, the point where they were openly racist, right? They just didn't say anything because they're like, I'm not going to get called out by my own, basically, you know, right. kind of thing. They just fell in line. But he kind of, it's twofold. Like, it's really cool because, you know, he likes the kid and he's actually trying to be like a good mentor. But he also knows if the kid turned around and said anything before he did, like, those guys would have just beat the living shit out of him right then and there, mm-hmm. you know, and not really anybody would have said anything about it. They'd been like, well, that's what that cop gets.
Yeah.
You know, he was probably shooting him too, basically. And
especially after police chief, that's for sure.
Yeah, he
today this episode, he was like, what did he say? He didn't even say close the case. He said close it. And they're like, you mean don't solve it. You're just saying just close it.
Yeah, he basically told him, he's like, I don't give a fuck. You just arrest any Mexican in the world and say they did it and we're done. Like, don't give a shit.
Bring me a Mexican head. I was like, good yep. Lord, man. This dude's going off the, I mean, he's not even hiding it anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just, that's how it was. I mean, you know, they didn't hide it when in politics and things like that, you know. It was just right there with the guy that's going to be running for mayor. I mean, he did it in his little speech. I mean, that's how it was. It was, hey, man, if we can unite everybody by hate and keep us going, then we're good. Like, let's roll.
Yeah, right. So Tiago's brother's not dead. He didn't kill him. Well, he's not dead because he's being kept alive by a ventilator, but he's not dead yet, so that's good. Now, his mother wasn't there. His sister wasn't there, but his brother, who was in the crowd, saw what he did and yeah. told him as much and said, if he dies, you are not part of this family, which probably means I'm going to tell mama, you know, and she's going to brouha some fucking shit on you by the time that, you know, she's going to. That lady can call in some angels. I tell you what.
Yeah, I don't know if that time was her calling. Like, I know she was trying, mm-hmm. but I don't really think she was there for her. Mm-hmm. I think she's there for the son, and that's why you saw him at the end of the show, like, touch her when she was kind of walking, and you saw her walking in the background, but then she was gone. And, you know, of course, the lights flicker when she turns around and she's in the distance again, you know, kind of thing.
I love that, like, by the way. That was well done.
Yeah, it was a really, I mean, simple way to do it. Like, you knew it was coming, like, you saw it, but just the way it looked, you're like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm freaking out. This is great. Mm-hmm.
I knew it was coming and I still don't like it. Like, well done.
Right. Even the jump at the end when he shows up. Now,
but I think what you're going to get from that, though, mm-hmm. is you're going to get her making a deal now.
Right.
Like, I think she thought she called her, and then the son's going to show up and say some shit, and it, like, really be her or whatever. And then she's going to go full on witch mode and, like, invoke some shit or make some kind of deal. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's where we're going to get the line drawn between the sisters somehow. Like, right. I don't know what the mama's going to say and or do, but because the boy has been touched and the son is now basically half and half right now, you know, the oldest brother, I just kind of feel like mama's going to do what, you know, all moms say they'll do, and I'm going to, whatever the fuck it takes, I'm going to get it done. And I think that is how we're going to get the next piece of the big reveal.
Right.
Not like what all the little players are doing within the scheme, but just kind of like, what are they really trying to accomplish? Like, are they trying to bring on Armageddon or what? Like, what? Right. Like, what's the motive? Yeah. Right.
It's not just collecting souls and giving souls type mm-hmm. thing. What is your bigger picture? Or what are we going to end up making the bigger picture?
Yeah, at least some kind of rough idea to at least put us in a ballpark. Because right now we're just like, all right, some shit's going down. We happen to be in this certain type of religion, and we know we got some angels doing some things, but why?
Right. We know Magda is steering politicians and Nazi doctors in a certain direction on purpose, but she's not doing it because she's bored. There's a point behind it, and what is her point? It's what we haven't quite figured out yet.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if it's just all going to be one of those things where when we watch all the dominoes kind of fall at the end, it was the setup to the World War. You know, like all of these places being played out. Like, you know, maybe at the end they do some crazy thing where you just see all these other cities mm-hmm. and you see the same kind of thing going on. And it was, you know, the bad guy from the extra clouds and sky and parallel universes all at play, like doing some shit, right? You know, whatever you believe in. But it was your beliefs, bad dude, like doing the stuff, right?
Right. So the younger brother, goes to Mateo, I believe his name is, goes to get a soda, ends up breaking down on, you know, just crying. He's by himself, or at least he thought he was. And then those four cops show up, including Officer Riley, who is our...
Which he just wanted to even prove even more that he's a fucking racist piece of shit, and you know he's gonna die, and now you're at the point where you're like, I want to see how you die.
Right, like, now I'm like, how am I rooting...
How many times do you get cut? Do you get cement boots? Is your face getting rearranged? Like, what's going to happen to you, man? Right. But it's not going to be nice.
Right, exactly. Because, I mean, I'm like, am I rooting for Fly Rico? Because I think I kind of am. Because that's the guy that showed up. And, like, I loved that entire scene. Like, the entire conversation, the way it was shot. I liked how it always focused on when it was behind Rico. It was, like, from the, right, the blade was in... focus and everything else wasn't mm-hmm. and like the, you know, the sound that it makes, the way that it makes him stop, and then just the way he was, and like he was so charismatic, and of course he was, because his name is Fly Rico, of course. That's of
yeah
course,
dude, you can't walk around with that name and like not just captivate a room every time almost, right.
But
right.
this is Mateo's way out of sweeping floors and punching guys who are filling up on his sister. You know, this is his way out, and he's going to join whatever gang this is. And, you know,
I can't remember what he called him at the end, because...
Pachuco.
Oh, Pachuco, yeah. Because he was, like... Because he didn't scream when the gigantic officer of a man was shoving his thumb in his eye, because his partner lost an eye, you know? And, give the little brother credit, man. Like, he didn't fucking say a word. And I like his response. He was like, I was too busy pissing my pants. And like the guy just started laughing, kind of like, he's probably telling me the truth, but also that's kind of a funny response to say given the situation right now.
Right. But so that I'm really, really interested in that kid's path now.
I do hope they do one thing with this gang, and it's not that they're just like some bad guys. Like it's actually one of those where they got started because they defend their area from the police and the racial activity and things like that. It's not just like we go to find out they're all running drugs, you know, kind of thing. And like that's, you got to get jumped in, and then here it is, man. Go make that fucking drug money over right. there, you know, go sell it to the rich white folk and yada, yada, yada.
Because
I want to, like, because the way he flicked that knife, man, like you can definitely tell that he's, like he said, he was like, there's a whole city of me.
Yeah.
So
there's four of us. There's one of you. There's a whole city of me.
I'm like, really hoping that it's just like, hey, in their neighborhood, in their city, they are the protection. You know, I want to get in on that.
Yeah.
Side.
Like I need to know like that guy.
Dude, yeah.
I'm glad they waited until this episode when I already know everybody else. And he's the only real new person I've met, minus Molly, who's the exact opposite of him. So it's like, I'm like, I need to know this guy's story now. Like, I need that to be half of next episode. Just tell me, get Mateo going down to find him at whatever place he mentioned, and let's get in on what it is. And yeah, I kind of want to see the good side of the gang. I'm with you. I want to see, like, yeah, okay, they make their money off of certain things, but they also Robin Hood this and money that and help elderly neighbors, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I kind of hope that's what boils down to. But yeah, no, I loved every bit of the interaction between him and the cops. There's four of us. I got a whole city of me. I'm like, yeah. I was like, you wrote that shit a long time ago. You've been waiting to say that in some situation.
Right.
I know exactly what I'm looking at.
When he got cast and read that line, he was like, yo, who did that? Nice. Well done. Well done. Well done.
Right. Let's see. What else? So you had the beach scene with Dr. Kraft. And
I wish none of those scenes happened, dude. I hate all of them. They're just weird to me.
Okay, the only thing I want to take out of it, because yes, it was odd. The only thing we took out of it was the younger son realized something about the kid was off, of course, because the kid was like, all the dead people lie down. And it's like, okay, creepy. Like, I don't want to play with you anymore. Except the fact that he's like part of his mama. So she, you saw her face change when he turned around. She's like, well, you're an enemy now. And like, oh, dude, you do not want her as an enemy, bro. Like, you better like look cute real quick.
Yeah, that he definitely registered. So whatever spell daddy's under has not fallen to the son, and we don't, and we've only seen a glimpse of the wife, and she got turned into the fucking blonde anyways for most of that scene. And but the son, like, right away, man, like when they came over to play, as soon as he started talking, and then the kid just was like tilting him over, and he's like, the dead lay down, and he's like, and then you see, like, then they show his face to him looking at him, and that little dude does a real good job of like, yo, hey, no one else noticed this fucking weirdo, right?
Right. But the big thing from that scene, though, is that those kids are acting out the same movie that Lewis is talking to Tiago about when they are leaving the hospital. And so there has to be, I don't know why they would choose the exact same plot. I understand you have dead people that you're pretending to be alive, so it, you know, ward some folks off, and you have a guy at the end who is pretty much dead, who's now at least propped up for a minute. Like, I understand, like, the quote-unquote symbolism, but for it to be the same story, like, I almost need to, which I didn't do because why do research for the podcast? Like, look up the movie and, like, or look up the story of what the movie was based off of, like, if there's anything else to pull from it. But the fact that they both use the same story in different situations in the same episode, I'm really like, that's not a coincidence. So I'm sure something.
I think it's that book that they were talking about. And then aren't they making it into a movie?
No, he'd already said, have you seen the movie? When the detective was like, hey, have you seen the movie? It's about these guys. And they're, you know.
Well, I wonder if the book. Well, I thought the book that the dad was holding. Whatever. Anywho.
Well, the dad was holding. So here's the crazy thing. So let's get even deeper into some conspiracy. The dad was reading Gone with the Wind. And then. The crew of elderly Jewish folk were discussing the casting of the movie. And so you had two different situations where the same thing is being talked about by two completely different groups of people in the show, but the same thing, or tied together at least. So that's not a coincidence whatsoever, and that's never a coincidence. So I'm interested in that. I don't know what it means, but I just wanted to point that out. And you just brought up the Gone with the Wind thing. I completely forgot that.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to be one of those things, man, where, okay, so they're talking about, like, all the dead people basically being used, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if somehow when the son that's been touched starts to realize what part he plays, as if some point, like, all of the dead that have happened now will be brought up. Not like zombies or whatever, but what if in kind of like whatever showdowny thing that's about to happen, like, that they're going to play that, like, card almost. And not saying it's going to work, but, like, I think we're going to actually see the story that people just kind of keep talking about get played out in the show. Mm-hmm. And at some point with the dead that are happening. And I think the fact that it was talking on both sides of the story right now, like, we saw our first two that were killed, and we're going to, when it gets played out, we're going to go, oh, so now you're getting propped up and you're being used. And I don't know if it's going to be the good side or the bad side that does it.
I don't know. But it's definitely a reason for those. And so now I have to go back and go back to that scene and figure out which movie he was talking about and go check out the story about it. So that will be research I have to do after this. Great. I love it. Let's see. Other than that, there, I think we've covered most of the scenes. You have the Tiago sneaks in and is able to, you know, disguise himself enough to go in there and talk to Molly. I give him credit that he, you know, snuck in as somebody who's just helping him unload the truck. And then he immediately, you know, flashed his badge and was like, hey, I'm Detective Vega.
Yeah, I like how all he had to do is take his jacket off and roll his sleeves up and grab something. And they were just like, boom, there you go.
Right.
And no one fucking questioned it. And then he's just like, here, take this. And then, hey, here's my badge. You need to talk to me.
And he took, they talked for a good long while. I'm not sure when they finally came to get her from him, and it was already nighttime and everybody was done doing their thing. And like the one like bodyguard guy who's there to guard her virtue. Like, I'm like, if you meant to run off and get her and bring her back, you did not do it in a hastily or quick fashion, sir. It took you until after the sun went down. Nicely done. So, I don't know. Her story is definitely a lot more complicated than just you got to see her prepping to do her show. So, and she looked real downtrodden, and you saw her like have that like just sorrowful face, like I'm tired of doing this type face, until like, the curtains were, by the time the curtain got to her face, she had her smile on and she did her, song and dance. But there's a lot more to her than to be said. So the question is, who do we think killed these people? Do we think it's somebody inside the church?
I think it's her mom. Yeah.
Yeah. The mom, her mom, because her mom's been all about the money. Maybe he found something. Because murders like that, they end up, especially if the guy's a money guy, he found something bad about how you do the books or whatever. And it's like, I'm going to tell the, federal government or whatever. And then you suddenly are hacked up like a, Mexican cartel got a hold of you.
Yeah. I want to know, like, because I don't think it's just that she is, like a televangelist, basically. And
yeah,
it's just been
the 1938 version of one.
Yeah. I think she is somebody. We're going to see another religious aspect come into play. I don't think she's just somebody who's been hawking her daughter, making money. And then the guy's like, hey, I found that you were evading taxes or some shit like that. Right. I think she has made a deal with some source for the things that have happened with her. And she is on the bad angel side. Like, we're going to find out that they're connected somehow, whether she's playing a whole nother character or what. But I just don't think it's, oh, hey, you got Caponed, right? Like,
right,
I just,
right. Well, that's too, and I'm waiting while we have Magda working her way through her different plot elements that she's portraying and the different people she's portraying. I'm waiting to figure out what it all means. Her thing is the main, and then all this little tiny stuff is going to all intersect whatever her plan is. I mean, we figure that out. I mean, next episode, we're going to deal with Detective Mike Newry with both of his friends who just got murdered, but it's going to be, he shot him in the head and then pushed the car over the thing. And so I'm sure in normal Hollywood fashion, it exploded and burned. So it'll be waiting to find, the autopsy to have the holes in their head, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, he's going to have a big hole. That's where his focus is going to end up being, as well as finding out what happened to them. And
yeah, I mean, his focus has already kind of been on that anyways, because he's got his whole room going,
Right.
He's just doing two jobs, one during the day and one at night,
Right. What else is there to do for him? Exactly.
I think you're going to find out that what he's investigating with the church is going to intersect with the man in the hat, and then it's all going to intersect with the bad sister, and then we're going to kind of be like, oh, okay. I get how everybody's being played right now. Gotcha. Makes sense.
Right. There's a lot of paths that are starting to have to wind their own way. And it's going to be a little bit convoluted, I think, for a few episodes. It's going to be, we're going to have to watch it going, okay, I have to trust that this is all going somewhere, like to all come together at the end, but I've got to see it. So I've got a feeling it's going to be a little bit crazy the next few episodes. As people move down their paths, you've got Lewis, Detective Mike Neuer, heading towards his whole Nazi investigation. You have the city councilman who has definitely pushed himself to the forefront with his dedication of the roadway, from him believing it's dead, and if he had left it alone, it probably would have died, to dedicating it to one of the officers who died during the fight, and then continuing on with it. You've got Tiago dealing with Molly and figuring out what it is with her. You've got the Nazi doctor and Magda's influence on him. And we've got five or six paths. And then on top of that, Santa Muerte and Zombie Brother, or whatever he is, whatever form he comes back to us in, if she's not hallucinating, whatever form he's taken as someone who's up and walking again, if he's going to be fully animated and back to, like, you know, normalish, or if he's going to be literally just a propped up dead person like the story. So I don't know. There's a lot going on, and there's going to be a lot to take in, so you're just going to have to brace for it.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, because...
And that's okay in episode 3 and 4 and 5, but we start rounding out towards the end of it. You got to start bringing it together and wrapping it up for me.
Yeah, I hope it's not one of those things where, like, he's just a ghost now, you know?
Like, he is really dead? Yeah.
Well, not even really dead. It's like he's only floating around because they somehow managed to keep him on life support more than the 48 hours or, you know, whatever. Like, either kill him and make him a full-blown ghost with some kind of, like, mission, and we're just watching like the afterlife side of it, or bring him back, you know, somehow, whatever they figure out.
And let's not forget that the guy that Lewis and his friend were following is a Caltech student who is apparently a mathematician and works in an explosive lab. So you have that part of the plot too, where I'm guessing, and he's the one that was talking to the Nazi guy, so I'm guessing he is working on atom bomb or whatever of some sort, like some sort of who know. I don't even want to know. It was like a college room, you know, a college. It had like math on the boards. I don't even know a better way to put it than that.
Yeah. I just kind of went to like, we're going to get to the occultish side of the Nazi thing where they're using math, trying to sort out something.
Right. Make something that, you know, Ark of the Covenant type stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be cool. That could be, yeah. So, like, there's a lot of places this could go, and I have a little bit of hope in it. But we shall see.
It looks like they'll keep it weird too.
Yeah, it needs to stay. Well, it's Penny Dreadful. It's got to stay weird. It can't be a standard whodunit. I don't need a whodunit. I need a what did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I'm totally with you, especially because it's like you've given us so much supernatural-esque things everywhere. Just make this reality that we're in that supernatural things are there, not just for this one person. Like, let it start actually affecting all the stuff and not always just whisper. Like, we know the whispering and the ear works, but what is it when it, what does the handprint mean? Like, does he now get to see behind the veil or whatever? You know what I'm saying? Like, make that kind of superpower happen.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Keep it weird like that.
But good second episode, Penny Dreadful, nicely done. I'm not upset at it whatsoever, and I'm looking forward to where each of these paths go. Any final words on this episode?
Nope, I'll keep watching it.
Keep watching it. All right, well, if you have found us for the first or second time, thank you very much. As always, to all of our listeners, we thank you for listening. Make sure you share us across your social media if you like us. If you don't like us, share how much you hate us. That'd be great.
See you guys.
All right. See you.